KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, we have more fishery forecasts for you. The legislature says no to a sanctuary in the Aleutians, and the Sitka Board of Fisheries meeting is the meeting that just keeps on giving. And what's Wrangell's waterfront going to look like after a few million dollars is spent spiffing it up? All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The recent Alaska Board of Fisheries meeting in Sitka covered a lot of ground, but when it came down to one of the most contentious issues, Sitka Sound herring, the board voted down all proposals, leaving the status quo intact. KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz has more.
The board faced a series of dueling proposals with subsistence users, including the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, on one side, and commercial herring seiners on the other. One proposal from the Sitka Tribe would have cut the harvest level for the commercial fishery, while one from the Southeast Herring Conservation Alliance, an industry group, would have cut the amount necessary for subsistence users. The Sitka Tribe asked to expand the area closed to commercial fishing, while the seiners asked to do away with the closed waters altogether. And while the tribe proposed banning any fishery until the minimum threshold had been met for 5 years in a row, the seiners proposed lowering that threshold. In the end, the board took a Goldilocks approach. Orville Huntington spoke for many board members when he said he didn't want to impose more mandates of any kind on the biologists who manage the fishery.
So I'm really reluctant to take the best science we have out there right now and make it more rigid. Because what happens is when you restrict science, only bad things come of it.
That was the theme for the afternoon. Board members repeatedly praised the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery as perhaps the best managed fishery in the state, and said they didn't want to tie the hands of the Department of Fish and Game. But board members did express concern about recent declines. The biomass forecast for the Sitka Sound herring this spring is the lowest in a decade, and it's not the first below average year, as Fish and Game's Sherry Dressel explained.
So it hasn't been a chronic problem, but 2011, 12, and then 14 have been lower than they have been for the last 10, 15 years or so.
Board member Sue Jeffrey of Kodiak asked whether that was cause for concern or just a normal fluctuation. Dressel said she saw no reason for alarm.
You know, we definitely take notice any time that it's low, and we definitely have, but it... At this point, I think it would be premature to say that this is a pattern that we expect will continue.
Board member Fritz Johnson of Dillingham asked Dressel to address public testimony from subsistence users, warning that herring populations are far below historic levels. Dressel said she couldn't speak to numbers before the department started tracking the population in the 1960s, and there's no agreement on how many herring swam in Sitka Sound in the early 20th century. But, she said, she can speak to the present.
So if the department is a scientific consensus, then no, we do not. We do have consensus that the population is not depressed. It is at the moment twice the size of threshold, so I would not call that depressed.
Still, board members said the trend of the last couple years made them reluctant to take any steps to loosen protections. But they also weren't willing to tighten restrictions. At its last two meetings on herring in 2009 and 2012, the board raised the threshold required for a fishery and closed some waters to the commercial fleet. Chair Tom Kluberton said those decisions were prompted by worries that current models aren't great at predicting sudden population declines. But any more restrictions could harm the commercial sacro fishery, he said. Speaking after the meeting, Sitka Tribal Council member Harvey Kitka said that though the tribe's proposals were voted down, he felt subsistence users had gotten the board's attention.
We tried real hard to convince them that this was really the last viable stock of subsistence herring eggs in Alaska. And they need to take a little better care of it.
The board was intrigued by a proposal to open a pound fishery in Sitka Sound. In pound fisheries, herring spawn on kelp within a net enclosure. The fish then leave the net and the kelp with eggs is sold. The board voted to postpone action on that proposal until the statewide meeting in March 2016 and will draft a letter in support of the concept. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online on demand at kmxt.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has released the Lower Cook Inlet pink salmon forecast for this year. KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver reports that there are a few factors that may contribute to a good harvest this year.
Forecasts show a strong year for pinks in the waters of Lower Cook Inlet. That's according to Ted Otis, the area finfish research biologist for Fish and Game.
I'd say this is going to be a pretty darn good year.
It's projected to bring in a harvest three times greater than the five-year average of 650,000 fish. That's a total of about 1.8 million. Otis says that's largely due to the area's hatcheries.
The hatcheries contribute so much to the return, and they're just coming back online now, so For instance, the pink salmon numbers prior to really the last 2 years are not going to have had hardly any hatchery influence, so they're going to be, you know, lower than we're expecting this coming year.
Hatchery stocks are expected to have a total run of about 1.5 million fish, with a harvest of 1.3 million. Natural production is expected to bring a total run of 626,000 pinks, with a commercial harvest of about 400,000. The Outer District saw record returns of nearly 2 million pinks in 2013, the parent year for this season's stock. Otis says there's about 500,000 fish expected there this year.
That, of course, means we had pretty good escapement to those systems, and from that we are expecting some pretty strong returns again this year. But there is a problem occasionally where you can have too many fish get into the stream, and it actually inhibits strong production from that parent year. Hopefully that won't be the case from our outer district this coming year.
The total harvest of naturally produced pinks in the outer district is projected at about 370,000 fish, with half the harvest occurring in the Port Dick subdistrict. Port Chatham, Windy Bay, and Rocky Bay should bring in about 60, 64, and 44,000 fish each. The Southern District has a projected harvest of 26,000 naturally produced pinks. 20,000 of that would come from Seldovia Bay, and the other 6,000 from Port Graham Bay. Hatchery numbers are strong for the Southern District, with a projected return of 1.5 million pinks to the Tutka Bay Lagoon Hatchery and about 3,000 to Port Graham. According to Fish and Game, the 2015 brood stock and cost recovery goals for the Tutka Bay Lagoon Hatchery are not finalized, so the common property harvest can't yet be estimated. On the other end of the spectrum, there is no pink harvest expected this year in the Eastern District. Otis says commercial fishing for pinks has not been allowed for a few years due to low production and restrictions of the Resurrection Bay Salmon Management Plan, which limits commercial interactions with the sport coho fishery. There are also poor runs and no commercial harvest forecast for the Kamishak Bay District.
You know, every stream is different, and these are generally, in our area anyway, they're short coastal systems that the pink salmon are returning to. And, you know, conditions in one stream 1 year may be very favorable and not so much in another. So that's kind of the case for Kamishak.
Otis says historically in that district, there has been one very large producer for pinks. That's Bruin Bay and the Bruin River. That's working against the district now because a few years ago, there was a strong run of about 1 million fish. Otis says virtually all of them got into the river for escapement.
Commercial fishermen just weren't able to target them very effectively. It's a very tough area to fish, and you know, that run timing occurs coincident with some other more valuable returns elsewhere, like in Prince William Sound. So we basically over-escaped that system, and it led to a string of years of poor productivity. And next year, we're starting to bounce back from that, but we just aren't expecting to see too much in Kamishak next year.
Otis says the places to avoid this year are most likely Kamishak and the Eastern District. For naturally produced fish, the place to be is the Outer District and Port Dick Bay. For pinks in general, including hatchery stock, Otis says head for the Tutka Bay Lagoon Hatchery.
So if I had a same permit for Lower Cook Inlet, I would probably want to be around that return when it comes in late July, beginning, and running through the end of August.
Overall, while there are some areas struggling to bring in enough fish for a harvest, the numbers are still projected to be quite high in 2015 because of the hatcheries coming back online. In Homer, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
After several public meetings and community votes, there's a fresh new master plan for Wrangell's waterfront for the space between the city dock and the Marine Service Center. But after presenting three different designs to the public, landscape architect Chris Myrtle says it's clear community members thought the three options were too expensive.
So what we did is took the best of from the three and distilled them into a single preferred master plan that's broken into smaller phases that becomes much more cost effective and actually provides economic opportunities and helps improve the quality of life in Wrangell.
The total construction cost for the preferred plan is estimated at $14.5 million, but it's broken down into four phases that would each cost $2 to $3 million. The goal of the first phase is to provide immediate economic opportunity by expanding the Marine Service Center. Extending the fill in front of the Nolan Center would make space for 25 boats to be stored, thereby freeing up some workspace in the existing boatyard. The second phase adds an elevated boardwalk or heritage walk. It starts at City Dock, wraps around the outside of the barge area, and joins the sidewalk along the waterfront near City Hall. That phase would include stairs going down to the beach in front of town. The focus of the third phase is adding a pier in front of the Nolan Center. The pier would include a net shed to be used for mending nets or community events or even weddings. The pier itself could be used for fishing and short-term vessel moorage. That plan has the stamp of approval from Nolan Center Director Terry Henson.
I think it's a good compromise between what we need for our boat haul-out area and the industry there. And I think it meets some of the Nolan Center needs also with retaining some of the green space and then creating a focal point out front that's attractive to, you know, people coming into the community. So I think it'll work.
The fourth phase depends on the barge companies eventually moving off the downtown waterfront. The barge area would be replaced with a park and a parking lot and some small buildings for the visitor industry. The design team will put finishing touches on the new plan and present it to the community and the borough assembly in 4 to 6 weeks. Last week, the Alaska House of Representatives voted to oppose the creation of an Aleutian Islands National Maritime Sanctuary. House Joint Resolution 7 lays out reasons why the massive sanctuary proposal is not a good idea, including that no local governing bodies from Bristol Bay out through the Aleutian chain had offered any support for it. HJR 7 is now in the Senate for consideration.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KCAW's Rachel Waldholz in Sitka, KDLG's Dave Benninger in Dillingham, KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver in Homer, and KSTK's Katerina Sostarek in Wrangell. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.